Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, Homage t-shirts are as ferocious as the dunks or bangouts Richard and Channing throw down from time to time, and their softness can't even be matched. Homage has been turning back the clock with throwback tees for years. From the NBA to the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the tee that LeBron wore on the plane after leading the Cavs to its first title the city had seen in over 50 years. Well, Homage tells the stories of triumph, individualism, and hustle, preserving the old school and creating new legacies. Go to homage.com, that's H-O-M-A-G-E, and pay homage with your favorite tee. Be sure to check out the NBA Jam tees and one exclusively made for me and you. Better yet, three other tees designed specific to the Road Trippin' fam you'll want to check out. We're Road Trippin' at Homage.com.
Gentlemen.
Cheers.
Salud.
To another edition of Road Trippin', Richard versus Channing. I'm your host, Allie Clifton. Rafa on the ones and twos, as always. I roll with Team Channing. There was Channing.
Oh, whoops.
And for the first time together on Road Trippin', we have the ingredients to make peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Let's see if we can make it. We've got peanut butter and jelly, also known as LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
What's goody?
A little PB&J.
What's goody?
What's up, Dougies?
What's up, Dougie?
PB&J?
A little PB&J.
Man, D-Wade was thoroughly impressed last time we were on here. So he's like, I got to come back with my bestie, BFFFFF.
Yeah, how did that go last time? How did it go?
It was solid. People liked it. People want to know more about Wade. They want to know more about him.
It was great. Channing talked the whole time.
Oh, shit. I would be quiet this time.
No, don't be quiet.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, sometimes, look. Sometimes you got to speak your mind.
He told, like, a lot of stories. It was good.
Yeah, but they're new stories to you. I can't tell those same stories. I can't tell those stories
listen,
no more.
Listen, when we got wrecked, when people call us and say, hey, can you do this interview, this and that, you always be like, but, you know, I'd have done two of these already podcasts. So, you know, it's great.
It's because we come bearing gifts. What'd you get this time?
Yeah, you're right. I love gifts. So
yeah, new bottle
I told Channing I like Cabernet wine, so he bought me some that he felt looked old. Diamond Creek
that
Volcano
looks
Hill.
Is there a reason why the old piece played a part?
What year is it?
1995.
Ooh, how old were you? 20?
I was in 8th grade, bro. Oh. Stop it. You was in 7th.
Yeah, right, I was.
7th grade?
Yeah, you're right behind me.
I was 12. I was in 6th grade.
I was 7 years old. How do you feel about that?
Allie had just gone to the fields to learn how to flip hay and tilt cows and tend to the sheep.
Milk cows before, for sure, right?
I've never milked a cow, but my family, we did have a hog farm. So I've been around some hogs before.
Oh.
But no, I've never milked a cow.
No.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All it took you was to milk the cow.
How? What?
I don't know, you just look like you've done some hard labor back in the day.
Allie. Oh,
I mean,
man.
I do know how to put in some work. However, what gift did you get, LeBron?
Where is that?
Actually, we're giving Channing a lot of love for bearing gifts, but he showed up to his own podcast late.
Yeah, I told you.
He did.
I had a phone call.
I've never, I'm a huge wine guy. Actually, and I've never heard of this one.
I bet you love it.
Well, I mean, I'm going to try it. It's Aaron and Claire Pot and Daughters.
Yes.
2013.
Next level.
This is a Napa Valley cab. Next Spring level. Mountain District. So.
It's that. It's not the rivers.
I don't know. I've never had this before. And I've had quite a few. But I'll try it, and we'll go from there.
Sometimes you got to expand your palate.
He went to the restaurant last night, was like, give me everything you got.
I said, listen, bring me heat. I said, bring me some heat.
Either went to the restaurant or 7-Eleven and took wine. One or two. We're going to find out.
Do y'all got a road trip and credit card?
What?
Do you got a credit card yet? Or you got
it's,
to charge
it's it to funny how usually you hear everything else, but for some odd reason.
Who did you charge this to? We know you cheated in a mug. So who bought this
wine? Charges to, thank you, Richard. And thank you, Allie. And thank you, Rafa.
And thank you, Channing.
Thank you, guys.
So what does that mean?
That just means $3.99.
Can we keep it 100 on here
let's keep it a bean.
We do have an account.
Y'all do have an account. Yeah. You have an investor?
Shout out to all of our followers, because that's obviously how we have an account, because we have sponsors, right? So we have an account where we can purchase this wine and so forth. And I was told to pick up some wine. So I do. And obviously we like to gift our guests as they walk out the door with a bottle of wine. So last night I told Channing that I had picked up the wine that Bron requested. For the podcast, some Cade and
some cake bread seller over there. I see a little Darius over. Is that Darius over there as well?
Yes.
That good black wine. I've now see those wines I've heard of and those wines I know. And it's how's okay. That cake bread over there?
No, I don't. I had Cade.
Oh, you have Cade. Yeah, how's the cake bread?
I haven't had it yet.
You haven't had it yet?
No.
It's all right.
That's phenomenal.
The Cade is great.
I'm allergic to sugar, so I can't eat cake bread.
I actually kind of requested I requested, you know, another wine, but Channing said it was a little bit out of our jurisdiction.
Okay, so let's get back to that. I buy the wine, right?
Yeah.
And Channing, I tell him last night, and he was like, I go, but we have to get Bron and Wade a bottle to walk out with. He's like, oh, no, I got it. No big deal. You owe me $1,000.
So I was joking. Right? Totally joking.
No. Okay, yeah, you're joking,
yeah,
right?
I was joking.
I'm joking.
It's hard to understand my context through text.
Today I get a message totally from Channing that says what?
I was like, yo, for real, though, let me get $400. Because, listen, no. I got all this wine, and I said, I'm going to keep this for myself.
Right.
I'm definitely keeping that Spanish wine for myself. And I said, okay, y'all, she told me you got the other stuff. I was like, yeah, just go ahead and hit me off on the other ones, and we cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tax write that right
it's
off.
It's a lot of wine. We do appreciate this. I mean, it's like 6 bottles of wine in here right now.
We're not drinking half of these.
Well, I'm drinking this.
For yourself.
And we're going to finish. We're going to finish that cake before we get up out of here. So.
No, we're going to dinner. We can drink. You don't have to drink it now.
Oh, why not?
This is true. You know what? Eat. Who am I? Who have I become?
Channing also said he was going to stop drinking wine for the podcast. You need to go to the vodka. Cut back on the sugar.
It's going to change from road tripping to you tripping.
You know what? But then we went on a streak, and then now I feel a certain way about my habits, and I'm sticking with it. So that's why you see me in Nike Tech Fit sweatsuits every game with some J's. I've had to go to the closet, the downstairs closet, where I said, I will never wear Jordans again, to now all I wear is retro Jordans. I swore after you hit 34, you're like, let me just stick with my Dunks and my Chucks and my Roches. But no, I'm back to the J's.
So
throwing out
what
heat.
Is that? What is that? What is that, fellas? Is it? Do we got like superstition? Cause we're not like.
No, we're not
that?
Too
what
superstitious.
What are we?
D-Wade. Oh, speaking of fashion, last game. So I commented on like the fashion. People are like chanting in a sweatsuit again, and I was like,
I noticed.
Damn,
that.
Skipping. Yeah,
yeah.
Of course you, because I only got 4 colors. I'd ask Nike for some new colors. Like, there's dark gray, light gray, metallic gray, blue, and green. That's what we working with. I found the camo downstairs. So that's what you're going to see tomorrow. But listen, somebody said that you had a Harry Potter outfit. I was crying. Like, literally, I was in tears. I didn't think of it.
And
obviously, he thought that was hilarious.
Oh, I thought it was hilarious.
It could have been
Harry Potter. What, they commented on my picture?
Yeah. Oh, there were so many Harry Potter comments.
They could have been like a Harry Potter outfit, Fantastic Beasts. Like, any one of those, Fantastic Four.
Oh yeah.
Like if somebody would say anything that has anything to do with like Marvel or
comic books
or like
fantasy
world, Channing would have said what? Oh, he would have cried.
I get it. I get it.
He gets you guys out there. He really does.
I don't get it. I had on a sweatsuit,
but you definitely
that was not.
But you know, Harry
it was
Potter,
fancy.
Though. You know Harry Potter though.
I know the name. I never watched or read. I never read a book or I never watched any of the movies.
Oh wow! Are you American?
Listen, I'm weird to the point where if everyone jumps on something, I don't do it.
Okay,
I never, and this is not good. I'm not saying, but I never watched Sopranos.
Listen. Okay.
The Godfather.
And or the Godfather.
I want to choke this.
I've seen some Godfather.
I want to choke the shit out of you.
No.
I haven't. You're my boy.
I didn't listen. It's not me. It's the shoe company that did it.
You're my guy. But for you to look at me and say you've never seen Godfather.
No, I've seen some of Godfather. Okay,
you've seen some, but you're not.
You're supposed to be able to recite it.
You got
to
be able.
It's not my thing. I'm a rom-com type guy.
You got to be your thing.
I'm a rom. I like romantic comedies.
Oh God.
Oh, me too. The Notebook.
Oh my God.
Do you watch The Notebook?
Nicholas Sparks. I'm a Nicholas Sparks fan, guys. You know,
no,
it is what it is.
Romantic comedy for me is like Hitch.
Hitch is great. It was great.
It was a good movie.
It was great.
I mean, I love.
What's
Eva
your
Mendes
favorite part of Hitch?
Who? Here. Every scene Eva Mendes is in.
What about my favorite part of Hitch is when they in his apartment and he's trying to show him like his dance moves.
Oh man!
And he smack him.
Don't ever do that again.
I love that scene though.
Or the time that when his face swelled up though.
Oh yeah,
that shit was hilarious.
Yeah,
that was hilarious. That was hilarious.
It's a lot of funny parts.
Was she in that scene too?
No,
yeah. She wasn't.
Yeah, she was when her face swelled up because she was one giving.
Oh yeah, that's right. They went to the store. They went to the store because they went eating at some seafood place.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't like that part.
Speaking of movies and films, you guys are a part of a lot of them.
He's a part of a lot. I'm a part of a few.
Yeah.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
DJ Montage.
Noodles.
Welcome.
Cake bread.
Noodles.
DJ Montage.
Cade or the mystery wine.
Which is full of blueberries in your mouth, apparently. Berries. No, but you guys have, you're a part of films. Smallfoot.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me excited over here, Allie.
No, please.
Oh, yeah, explain it, bro.
I get excited.
Okay, so Smallfoot is a... you guys had a Yetis before, right?
Yes.
The koozie things? The cooler things? Yeah.
A Yeti. Bigfoot.
Bro. Like Yeti eating frozen spaghetti.
Yeah.
My Gatorade commercial.
Like your Gatorade commercial.
Bro, I got you.
And I don't even like Gatorade.
I was talking about keeping
keeps his PG, okay?
I like Gatorade.
Shout out Sprite.
Shout out Gatorade.
Shout out Sprite.
You see, Channing, you see how I threw my endorsement out there?
Yeah, shout out Coke.
Way to open the door for Yeti.
Shout out Coke.
So he shout out Coke,
Sprite. Shout out Coke, Sprite. You know, saying we here, Smart Water. Anyways.
Your boy's thirsty.
Who is this?
That's Rank.
Smallfoot is about Yetis. And Yetis
let me get
are...
that cake bread. I'm going to try that next.
Anybody listening?
Yeah, listen, bro.
Y'all let DJ Montage come in here.
No, we got headphones on, bro.
Y'all let DJ Montage come in here and kind of like, you know.
No. Hey, it's good. More people.
No, but Smallfoot is coming out next year. I am playing a huge role, actually, in the movie. And it's about Yetis. And Yetis are like Bigfoots.
Yeah.
So what happens is...
Abominable snowman.
Abominable snowman. So what happens is one of the Yetis gets to our world here as humans. And they call us Smallfoot.
Right.
So they one of them finds a Smallfoot. And when he goes back home, no one believes him. Because they don't believe Smallfoot exists. Which are humans. They don't believe they exist. So the whole movie is about how does this particular character played by
What's our guy?
No.
Oh, I was about to
say. What's our guy? Tatum. What's our guy?
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. Sorry. Oh, Channing Tatum. The real Channing.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh.
The popular Channing.
You're the popular Channing. Oh. No, Channing, you're popular.
Thank you. Yeah.
Played by Channing Tatum. I'm his best friend and in the movie. And he has to convince all the Bigfoot that he actually saw a small foot. And it's pretty...
pretty funny.
The preview is great.
Do we get to see it early as your teammates?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got to shoot some more. We should actually...
Pre-popcorn?
Do road tripping?
We can actually maybe possibly do road tripping when I do another one of my readings in January. So I can, you know, allow you guys to come in there while I do my reading. And you guys, they show like little scenes of the movie that we've done so far. It's gonna be ridiculous.
Your voice gonna be deepish.
I asked you this before. What's harder, to play a role or to do a voiceover? In terms of like putting in the emotion and
right. I mean, both of them are pretty emotional. Mm-hmm. Obviously, doing a movie with and Trainwreck with Amy Schumer and Bill Hader and all those great people.
Right. Is it on DVD yet?
It is.
Is that at the Red Box so I can get it?
I don't know. Is that Blockbuster?
He was good. He was good in it.
It was good.
He was good in it.
Me? Yeah.
Oh, I paid $3.99 to rent that one time.
He was like 20 pounds smaller than he is right now, though.
Well,
he
was, I was on the paleo. I was on a paleo diet at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
The paleo.
Did you have to do that for the movie?
No. I was just on some trying to test my body.
Oh, God.
He was bored.
Yeah, thank you. I was trying to test my body.
I was testing my body to see, like, listen, like, post-career, like, can I actually do this if I happen to, you know, gain a few pounds? I know I can do it to get those shits off of me because I am real, like, what's that word?
Yeah, Channing, I'm going to Snapchat a little bit.
What's that word?
You're real what? All right,
so just letting you know.
When you're crazy about how you look, what's that
obsessed
word?
Obsessed.
Here we go, everybody. Not that. We are on.
Vain.
Vain. Oh, yeah.
Narcissist.
No, not narcissist.
But I'm not crazy about how I look.
Every year, millions of people receive the least liked gift of all time, underwear. But we still give it to our family and our loved ones who just don't want it. But maybe it's not that underwear is the problem. Rather, it's the kind of underwear we are giving. So let me tell you about MeUndies, the only underwear that makes for an amazing gift. And that, from my own personal experience, is no stretch of the imagination. In fact, I'll make sure those who are receiving gifts from me this year get to experience exactly what I'm talking about. Unlike any other, MeUndies have a soft, flexible waistband, are 3 times softer than cotton, and are made with natural, sustainable source fiber. Let's be honest, what more could you possibly want in terms of being comfortable around the holidays? MeUndies made underwear, the perfect gift that everyone is going to love you for. So this year, don't give underwear, give MeUndies. Better yet, this holiday season, to get your exclusive 20% off the softest underwear and socks, that's right, socks included, that you'll ever wear, free shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/road. That's MeUndies.com/road.
Hey, yo, are we all, is that... What is this whole Snapchat thing? I'm not on Snapchat.
Are you really?
I'm not either.
No, I'm not on Snapchat, so I don't know what goes on when you guys...
You were on Snapchat. Actually, you were on Snapchat today.
I was on his Snapchat. Yeah. I saw that.
Walking up the plane in your camo.
First of all,
my travel jacket.
I can't. Listen, the cold, I love y'all, Cleveland. Listen, it hurts my soul. It hurt my soul getting out the car. I started my car 15 minutes early. I'm using all my gas.
You got an automatic starter?
Yes.
I had one of those in high school.
So that was a gift.
It's the Hummer.
No, it was not the Hummer.
Oh, okay. No, it was not.
It was my cheap ass, but very appreciative 94 Plum Ford Explorer.
Oh, I had an automatic starter. You know about that car.
The car with the cameras were around.
No, that was my first car, man.
Am I on ESPN this week? Yo, give me the car I don't use.
Remember that game? You had on ESPN? He had two sidekicks. He had two two-way pages on his hips.
Yes.
Yeah. One of them actually worked. One of them worked, and the other one didn't work.
Yeah, both of them.
You know, grade school growing up, you get a pager, then you just hit the side button and let it vibrate like somebody really hit you.
Oh, man.
My pager was purple.
Yeah, Was it see-through?
No, I ain't had a see-through.
See-through joints was fire.
Yeah,
you can see the whole belly of that thing.
My dad thought pagers were for drug dealers only. So I had the phone and I never turned that switch on.
Every year, millions of people receive the least liked gift of all time. underwear, but we still give it to our family and our loved ones who just don't want it. But maybe it's not that underwear is the problem. Rather, it's the kind of underwear we are giving. So let me tell you about MeUndies, the only underwear that makes for an amazing gift. And that, from my own personal experience, is no stretch of the imagination. In fact, I'll make sure those who are receiving gifts from me this year get to experience exactly what I'm talking about. Unlike any other, MeUndies have a soft, flexible waistband, are 3 times softer than cotton, and are made with natural, sustainable sourced fiber. Let's be honest, what more could you possibly want in terms of being comfortable around the holidays? MeUndies made underwear, the perfect gift that everyone is going to love you for. So this year, don't give underwear, give MeUndies. Better yet, this holiday season, to get your exclusive 20% off the softest underwear and socks, that's right, socks included, that you'll ever wear, free shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/road. That's MeUndies.com/road.
Hey, I didn't get a cell phone though till my junior year.
What?
No, I got a pager. Like, if my mom wanted to reach me, I get a pager, and then I have to find the nearest payphone. But oh, I didn't get a cell phone until my junior
year. Yo, our kids have no idea what payphones are.
None.
No.
When's the last time you've
seen a payphone? Do they even know what a regular telephone is?
A home phone.
Maybe they know what a home phone is.
Yeah, they do.
They don't.
I got home phones.
They don't answer it,
do
though.
You really?
Yeah, we don't use them.
Right.
Mostly for, like,
but they there.
The people that come to the front door, they ring right. in a package, you know, whatever, or
yeah.
someone's at the
door. No one uses
it. Or they knock on the door?
No, hell no, they ain't knocking on my door. You got to get through the gate first.
Like, think about it.
I got that.
I just got a no soliciting sign, so I have to look, and you see me poke my head. I'm like, damn.
You got a dog sign? Beware.
Beware of dogs. Ain't got no dogs, though. Be aware of dogs.
Be aware of dogs.
Yeah. Remember when you had to remember your friend's telephone number?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's out. Man.
Oh, yeah. That's I still out. Remember some of my old phone numbers that I had to remember back in the day.
That's because your mind is crazy.
I still remember my college.
For sure. 376-3489-252-1865.
What?
376-2806. I still know the number that he still has
but your
right
brain
now.
Works differently. I
remember one
number.
Me too.
Oh. Yeah,
I just remember my grandma's phone numbers.
I do.
643-2098. That's something I remember.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to go from Naperville, Chicago to
Yeah, we're not about to play these games Chicago. Again. Not about to play these games again. First of all, I never went downtown Chicago. Okay?
Right.
All
right. What about Springfield, Chicago? Springfield, Illinois.
You trying to I told you last time. You trying to take my hood stripes away from me, bro? All right.
You said he grew up with the Simpsons.
Where the Simpsons were. And they
Springfield.
Were like,
Springfield.
He needs to get drafted. So let's say he's from the inner city.
No.
I'm from the hood, bro.
It's okay. So guys, what else is up, man? Let's talk about what everybody wants to talk about. What happened on that banana boat?
was it everybody? Is it just you,
everybody
Jenny?
Wants to know. At what point did y'all say, you know what, this might not be the best idea?
I said it from the beginning.
By the way, listen, first of all, he did. We talked about this already.
We talked about it on Rachel.
We talked
Nichols.
About this. Right?
Yeah, we talked about Rachel.
No, he was like, this is not a good idea. Listen, Jelly definitely said this is not a good idea,
y'all.
Now we got one friend.
Yeah.
Who is the biggest gasser ever, and that's Chris Paul. Wherever we go,
oh my goodness.
If it's like climb the Mount Kilimanjaro, he's like, we gotta do it.
Yeah.
And all you get is a string to hang off of the side of the mountain. He's like, we gotta do it. If we don't do it, it make no sense for us to be here. So he was the one who gasses. Then Gab was like, we gotta do it, because she's right there with him. We gotta do it, and then if you don't do it, Gab, like, y'all some punks, y'all some bitches.
What? No. You know what? Gab give me one banana boat by myself.
Listen, Gab don't play. Listen, she don't play.
Yeah.
And listen.
So then Brian was like.
So I was like, D-Wade.
Come on, bro.
We got to
listen,
I can't do it.
And I'm like,
you know,
why?
That's my guy.
Why are we doing it?
I'm like, it's fun. I did it before. Remember I did it before. It's fun. We just got to make sure. And this is what I told everybody, because nobody had done it but me. When the boat turns, if we don't sway on the same side of the boat turn, we're going to get fucked up. Yeah. All right? Yeah. Everybody, you know, when you tell people that, you know, grown-ups and kids or whatever, they all give you the same face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And we were good. We were good.
We was rolling, baby.
We was rolling.
We was out there. We was like, this is life.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the boat went left. We went left. We was like, you know them little, you be in an arcade.
Yeah.
And they got that motorcycle.
Yeah,
that
you little, lean
and
with
you
it.
Lean with it. And the goal said you lean.
But everybody got to lean the same way.
Lean
if
the
one
same
person
way.
Go the other way.
Oh, yeah. And that's what happened.
That's
that
it.
Damn boat went right.
The boat turned quick.
That I
boat,
would totally that, be that person.
That boat went right. And you got one person that's looking over at a boat over here. And we all leaning right and someone like this.
Listen, we fell so fast.
Oh, you fell?
Oh, in the water. Oh,
you fell?
No, we fell so fast. Like,
so fast.
Bodies smacking everything. Just
Hit.
And you're flying. The boat that's carrying this banana boat is moving through the water.
Yeah,
so when you hit the water, it's like this.
Cement.
Yep.
Right into the water. Smack.
Uh-oh.
Ain't no like, you can't, it's not like you can like leverage yourself and jump and like.
No.
It's like.
You go eat that water.
We got on that banana boat one time and we known as the banana boat crew.
One time.
You knew it though, right?
No. I knew it was
you
trouble.
You knew it was trouble, but you didn't have no idea.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you the worst thing that happened on our vacation, okay?
Were you?
We was in the Bahamas.
At this time, we was in the Bahamas.
Like 7 hours away from the Bahamas.
So this is the worst thing that happened on our vacation.
Oh, Lord.
So back to Chris Paul, daredevil Chris Paul. So Chris Paul come up with this idea that he wants to go to the top of the yacht and jump off, right?
Oh, no.
So me and Brian like, no, don't look like a good idea. We're not doing it. So a couple of days, Melo comes in a little later because they had some things going on. And he comes in and they say, hey, guys, how about we greet Melo by jumping off the yacht? I was like, why? Once again.
And the yacht is
what?
Like.
Peer pressure.
It's like 55 feet up. I mean, like an air.
It's up there.
So it's a tiny yacht.
So look, it's up
it's
there.
It's the one you rent like at the hotel.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's the one that you can actually carry by yourself.
So we go up to the top and they say, hey, don't look over because if you look down, you're not going to jump.
You ain't going to do it.
So Melo is coming in on a boat,
the tender.
The little tender.
Yeah,
Melo
yeah,
and they're coming in.
That goes inside the other boat that we're in.
So CP like, we got to go. So CP jump. Boom. He gone. All I know is he gone. So Brian like, come on, D. We got to do it. Brian go. Now it's just me. I'm like, fuck.
I'm like, listen.
You can't be the last one.
You can't not do it.
See, when you're nervous, you forget all instructions.
I forget everything.
When you jump, you have to put your feet down and your hands to your side.
That's what they told me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you smacked your arm?
What?
What?
I was going down. But it was, listen, I was in the air for 3 hours. I was just talking to myself like, why did you do this? What is wrong with you?
You got the go-go in flight.
Oh, my God. I hit that water so hard.
He had all type of welts on his forearms.
And I'm dark skinned, too. And it's, you know.
He had welts on his forearms. His ass was hurting,
bro.
Because he didn't, like, tuck his toes down. I'm like, you don't listen, man. He's like, I told you I didn't want to do this shit.
Bro, when I jumped, I get angry, right?
Get angry.
When I jumped, I thought I had it. This is what they said. But after a while, it started getting scary. I was like,
like that was
boom.
He thought it was a bird. He tried to fly back up on the boat.
Yeah, that was the worst.
Yeah, that was.
Overall, my life was over.
Overall, it was a great trip, though.
How would you characterize your group?
Our group? Yeah. Our four?
Is there like a movie that has like Sandlot or a movie that has...
have you seen
youngsters?
Sandlot?
I have seen Sandlot. That you could be like, I am this guy.
No, we're more like
Anchorman. 100%, y'all crew is like Anchorman.
Loud noises.
We're not like Anchorman. We don't
100%.
Have a. No, we're not like Anchorman.
You got a Ron Burgundy. You got a sports dude. Then you got I forgot their names.
No, we don't have a. I don't know if we have a like.
I don't know. That's a good question.
No, we don't.
Everybody in Anchorman is hilarious.
We're like four brothers, I guess. You ever seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Andre
3000. Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, wait. Mark Wahlberg, Tyrese.
So wait, the one Tyrese said they about to do a remake.
Oh, yeah. Four brothers.
Tyrese said they about
to do a remake. Or we're more like the town. Gangsters.
Ooh.
Four of us.
We ain't gangsters. I ain't no gangster, bro. Right. I don't want no
Yeah, so it's one of them that didn't want to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
That's me. Yeah. I'm out.
I'm a gangster. What's
up? I was
so CP is the daredevil. He's the one that always.
CP is the daredevil.
LeBron's like he's like the older brother. He's, you know what I mean? He's the one got to
But
make
he
sure
left
every,
you.
Yeah, but I won't do
yourself.
Yeah, but I won't do everything. But like what CP say, okay. Now we won't do everything CP says. Now he goes a little
He's regular sized human being.
Yeah, no. He's crazy.
Wait a minute. I got another story. Do you remember we went jet skiing, right? All four of us went jet skiing.
Oh, yeah.
And
We
were jet skiing for a long time. Long time. Way over my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Right? We're going so far out that I'm like, this ain't good, guys. Like, we can't see nothing.
Oh, yeah.
That was, you are
so,
me.
No. So, look. It was one point where they was like, yo, let's go over to that island.
Nah.
We was on our way over that island. Our jet skis was going like this. I turned my black self around.
We turned around.
Me and CP and Brian and Mello was gone. Me and CP turned around like, no way.
Yeah, Mello. See, Mello gets on that water. He's crazy on the water.
They turned around. Me and CP was going back to the boat. Listen, it was crazy.
No, we was out far.
The jet skis was over like this every turn.
We was getting close to the sharks.
We was too far, bro.
No. What scares you about that? The fact that you could be ate by a shark?
No, we was going to die.
We was getting
die.
Close to the shark.
We was about to die.
We was getting close to
and
the man.
And I wasn't letting us die.
We was getting close to the man-eating sharks.
The great whites are like, come on over here.
No, they was over us. There. They
two for one on dark meat.
We start getting
two
for one on dark meat. We start getting too daredevilish, though.
Yeah, they saw dark meat. They was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bring your ass big dummies.
Come on, you
big dummies.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. Remember we ended up on, like, this little sand, and we couldn't get the jet ski out of the sand?
Oh, no.
Yeah, we went up on, like, the sand out. We just, like, sat there for, like, an hour just reflecting.
Yeah, just reflecting. Oh, no.
And then when it was time for us to leave, I don't know. It was one of the four jet skis we could not get out. And it's hard to pull because you slide in the sand trying to get it out the sand, and you're sinking into
the
water.
Into the water, yeah.
So,
are you guys on, like, two-seaters or three-seaters?
No, you guys got your own. You got an individual.
I know, but
oh, yeah, you can have someone behind.
Like two-seaters.
Yeah. Listen, Allie.
Well, I'm just saying there's a three-seater.
No. They're not on cheap jet skis.
No, three-seaters ain't dangerous.
T.O., why has it got to be cheap?
What that mean?
I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that there is a difference.
T.O., time out.
I thought it was 12.
Yeah, T.O. T.O., 20 seconds. There is a difference between – that's T.H.
Oh.
What's that?
What's TH?
I said T.O. I said Tim Ortons.
Tim,
my bad. Shout out Toronto.
Tim Orton?
Tim Orton?
No. Cheating. I'm not going to let you punk me like this.
I'm not punking
there,
you.
Yes, you are. There is a difference between a two-seater jet ski and a three-seater.
Right.
Okay? I don't care if you can put someone on the back or not, but when you're taking on wake,
right.
When you're taking on wake, then it's scary.
That's fine.
It is very scary.
The bigger the jet ski, the more dangerous it is. Though.
You think
like,
so?
I think the two seater is like it handles a little bit better. Yeah.
Yes.
You get to like three seats. Yeah. The fact if you could put three people on a jet ski, y'all shouldn't be on the water.
Should be in a boat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like
okay. Now y'all trying to save
okay.
Y'all,
just so
y'all
what
trying
about,
to
see, what about when we took our boat? Another crazy part that me and Brian didn't get a part of. What about when we took our boat to where those sharks was?
Oh, yeah.
And it's called what? Chummy? No, not Chummy. Well, that's what they did at the boat. But whatever. It's a part in the Bahamas where you go and you jump in the water where the sharks are.
We're already docked 7 hours away from Atlantis.
No, you're crazy.
Where we went?
In Azuma, yeah.
We're 7 hours away from Atlantis. You got to take a boat 7 hours.
No.
In order to see these sharks, you got to go another 2 hours out in the water.
Nah.
Because and you did that with your jet skis?
No. We went on a tender.
Oh,
but
okay.
You know, not like a small tender, but like a nice size boat.
Nerve sharks. Yeah.
No.
That's what they say.
Ramos.
That's what they say. That's what people normally say.
Not the place where you go with the nerve sharks. No, we went out in the water where the water is now deep navy blue, like dark navy blue.
You don't see,
and all you do is take the food out of the bucket and you just throw it in the water. You throw it in the water.
Nerve shark.
That's what they say.
That's not what they say. You could get in the water with those.
Yeah, these are, man, but listen, no, these are like little
that's
dog
not,
sharks.
I know what you're talking about. You can get in the water with those.
They don't even got teeth, man. What is this?
Man, listen, first of all, the shark gonna go shark on you and put his teeth in.
But by the way,
they got no teeth.
By the way, let me tell you a story.
Our guide
has an underwater camera and was taking pictures for us, and the nerve shark tried to grab. Went to grab the camera, and they don't have teeth, but with their suction, when he sucked back, pause.
When they sucked back?
When the nerve shark grabbed his hand, he pulled skin off his hand.
Ooh, gross.
And his hand was bleeding. So now you definitely got to get out the water.
No, I ain't with that.
Wait a second, I'm kicking you.
Off our guide that
went he with had his hand in the water?
Yeah, because he's taking pictures underwater.
They don't
with
supposed
the
to have teeth, right?
They don't
so
have
they
teeth.
In the water.
But the suction, when he grabbed his hand, he came back off his hand, and his hand was bleeding. He was like, I got to get out.
Oh.
now you better get out of the water.
When we all got to get out. Okay, so this is not funny, huh? But this was another reason why I wasn't getting in. When we pulled up, to the area.
Yeah.
A person got out of the water with one leg. At this point, I'm already flustered. listen. At this point, I'm already flustered, and I'm not getting in. But that just further let me know that I'm not getting in there.
Where are you going?
I'm not lying.
Don't you ever just want to live life on the edge?
No, not that edge. No, I want to see my kids grow up.
No.
We work too damn hard.
Listen, I don't like going down two stairs at a time.
Can't, yeah. nigga turn sideways.
I walk down the stairs.
That nigga said, oh shit, my feet too big.
I was trying to walk down the plane stairs regular, but my feet too big.
No, you turn sideways. I wear 18. What do you think? Don't let there be any type of moisture on that wrap. Oh, I fell one time. I said, never again. Yeah. Hey, sideways. Alex, we used to do it in dress shoes
when
back
you grow
in the day.
Up. The way I grew up and the way I grew up. Channing, shut your mouth.
No.
That's a
sort of
that story. Is the edge. You make it out of that shit, that's enough of the edge. Ain't no jumping out of planes.
Yeah, okay, but
No.
Speaking of planes, because I feel like this is where I would have thought you would have been. Speaking of planes, can you share your story from, you know what I'm talking about? From a long time ago when you were headed to All-Star?
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Headed from Cleveland to Detroit to Houston. So my first stint in Cleveland, ladies and gentlemen, all the listeners. First of all, let's give it up to all our listeners. Road tripping. We love you guys. Thank you.
Y'all tripping.
Road tripping.
Dokes.
6 million.
Yeah, 6 million.
Ooh, six million.
Is it six?
Ooh. 6 million.
Hey, y'all get the 10 million.
Oh, we're gonna have a fiesta.
Yeah, we gotta do something for the 10 million. All right.
We'll have a road trip party in Cleveland. Yeah.
So I think in 2005, I believe D-Wade, that was All-Star Houston. Yes, our second time making All-Star.
Yeah, it was 2005.
2005 All-Star weekend in Houston.
Oh, I was there.
Really?
Rookie All-Star game. Oh. The rookie thing.
Hello.
Holla at your boy, Houston, hello. Dog. Oh, I was Liddy.
Our team playing at the time, I had always complained about our team playing. it was old. It was run down. And I'm not even a guy who's afraid of flights. I had one scare, first time I ever flew, and then after that I've been good. But I always felt like something could actually happen to this plane. It was painted the old Cavs colors, Carolina blue and orange.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes, it was the old plane. Sweet, Carolina blue and orange, and they owned it. The team owned that plane. But it was over with.
You had the propeller plane from Indiana Jones.
And I noticed it. And this was the first year our new regime took over the team. And I was like, listen, if you want to start with helping out us become a better franchise, we need a new fucking plane. So anyways, long story short, we take the plane from Cleveland, our family, from Cleveland. I was in the All-Star game, myself and Z and our families and everybody. And we go to Detroit to pick up the ownership. Because that's where they're based at.
Oh, Detroit.
So we go to Detroit, pick up everybody in Detroit, and we're now taking a plane from Detroit to Houston. When I tell you, every single body on the plane from Detroit to Houston thought they were going to die. I mean, literally. Our owner's wife was pregnant at the time.
Oh, no.
She threw up multiple times.
Oh, no.
Couple of my family members, DJ Montage, threw up. Our stewardess broke her ankle.
No!
Broke her ankle. We looked into the kitchen at one point in the flight, and there was smoke coming out of the kitchen.
Jesus.
The lights were flickering on and off. I said to myself,
what's on the plane? What's on the wing?
I was like, oh my God.
No, nobody knows that.
No one wants to listen to me. I believe this is it. Obviously, I'm still here to talk about it. Nothing happened. But the following year, we had a new plane.
Were you playing cards at the time?
I was playing cards at the time.
I heard that you just brought some stability because you just wanted someone to.
Tell it, Allie.
I want you to say it.
Nope. You tell it.
Did you say deal the...
Why you already know it? You
because
already
I can't
know.
Use that language. You can't.
Why not?
Freaking sugar plums.
Yeah, just like put it in Euro terms. How would you say it?
Deal the motherfucker.
Holla at your boy.
Cards.
Deal the motherfucking cards. I'm here to play cards. Listen,
Listen,
it see, was a, so that right there tells me that you like to live life on the edge.
Well, at the end of the day,
it's it. That's you ain't doing nothing.
Allie, that was out of my control. There's nothing I can do.
Nothing you can do.
Once it's out of your control, then there's nothing you can do. So I was just like, hey.
Yo, you know what we need
on? Deal the cards.
You know what we need on?
It was up. Hey, this
flow screen. Calling in and giving questions one day.
That would be crazy. Do you want me to ask him right now?
That well, I'm sure if you looked at your
but not call. It has to be like
I could do it on Snapchat.
If you send it on Snapchat, they'll start sending it.
Trust me, it would shut my phone down. We did it once.
Y'all need a special. Once y'all get a 10 million,
we doing like a.
Y'all got to say, listen up.
This is what we need.
Like we're doing like a telemarketing thing or something. Like
somebody might got some questions they want to hear. You know what I'm saying?
But here's a question.
But are we're not live right now, though.
No,
we're not live.
We're not live.
However,
we was live inside the LeBron experience, though, for the 15, though.
Shout out to the LeBron 15s.
Oh, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
We had great wine.
They're very comfy.
Yeah.
Shout out DJ Montage for that wine.
Yeah, great wine.
Speaking of that, though, because I'm sure some questions had we put it out, so you could put it out on social media and say we're recording with.
I already did.
Oh, well, there you go. There's questions probably coming in. But there's a topic, I think, or something that happened, I believe, this week, right, that I would love to get. We kind of talked about it on the last episode with you, Dwayne, about using your platform to create change.
Oh, yeah.
And this week, obviously, was the Sports Illustrated Sports Awards in Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Got the Muhammad Ali Award.
Shout out Cap. Big time supporter of Cap.
That's huge, though.
Yeah, love Cap.
That's big.
Love Cap.
I think sometimes people don't understand, like,
change.
Change or
thinking
like,
outside the box.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Martin Luther King, Jesse Owens, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Oscar Robertson, Luau Cinder before he became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, so on, so on. You can name so many people that at that point in time, people was like, are you an idiot? What are you talking about? Why are you saying that? Because people's minds are so caught up in a box. That one, they're afraid to think outside the box, they're afraid to change, and they're afraid to be original. Everyone wants to be followers. So with a guy like Colin Kaepernick, people refuse to listen to what he said. Mm-hmm. They refuse to actually do the due diligence of actually saying, what is he protesting? They automatically said, why are you shitting on our military and armed forces? Why are you shitting on our flag? When every single time he was asked before the game or every single time he was asked after the game, this is not about the armed forces and the people that create free for us to live every day. This is about equality, human equality, and us trying to figure out how everyone can feel equal in the grand scheme of things. They was like, no. No one's ever done that before. No one's ever kneeled before. How dare you?
Right.
How dare you kneel on our flag? How dare you shit on our armed forces and the people that's made America the home of the free, the land of the free? How dare you do that? No one ever gave 2 seconds to actually read and to actually speak to him and say, oh, shit.
Or listen to what he said.
Listen to what he said.
Because they spoke to him, but they never listened to what he said.
And it's the same thing with Martin Luther King, and it's the same thing with Muhammad Ali. They put Muhammad Ali in prison.
Yeah,
they stripped him of his title and put him in prison.
I love the fact that he educated us, you know what I mean, on something that we necessarily never took the time to look into. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he made all of us go back and look and take a second to think about, you know, what he was saying and what those words were saying. So I love the fact that he educated us, and you know, from there you continue to do what you want to do, but he educated you. He pointed the picture. He pointed the red light at what you need to look at. And it was great, you know. So I feel that it sucks that he's not in the NFL. I think we all would love to see him playing football. But what he's done and what he's doing is his life is bigger than a sport. And he used this sport as that platform to be able to do something amazing and something great. So I don't know him like that besides meeting him before, but I'm proud of him, man.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, is as much as I would love to see him play football, because he's an unbelievable athlete. Let's not forget the playoff game in Green Bay. Let's not forget the playoff game in Green Bay where he took one to the house, 70, 80 yards, took it to the house and beat Green Bay. You know, took the Niners to the Super Bowl. Let's not forget that. But at the end of the day, it's very rare that you can play professional sports, but be known for something bigger than that when you're done. Mm-hmm. It's very rare. And his legacy and what he's talking about now today and what he's about will live so much further than him winning a playoff game in Green Bay and taking the Niners to the Super Bowl and things of that nature. So,
yeah, but it's amazing.
To Colin Here's Kaepernick. The only thing that really matters to me, right? So somebody says something. They say, I'm going to stand up for this, right? And usually, for the most part, guys, when things go bad, they back up a bit, right? Most guys in our position, if when they hit that crossroad of my career, money, fame, popularity, there's a crossroad between what I believe and what everybody else is going to accept. He crossed that road, and literally, how I feel is, he basically gave up his, he chose what I believe in over my career, right? He had to know what he was giving up. He had to know it. There's no way you do what you do every single game. You got benched. You don't start. All of a sudden, now you're third string. All of a sudden, you get traded. All of a sudden, you're now another team. All of a sudden, now you have this negative media. And you still continue to give that up for one thing that you continually believe in and refuse to let go. That is what I respect. Like, he could have said, you know what? I think broccoli is bad for you. Now, mind you, his idea is way bigger than that. But I respect the man for sticking to what he is and what he believes in. And that is, like, the ultimate respect for me. Mm-hmm. For me, that's the ultimate respect.
The explosive part about it, and all the names you mentioned, is that these guys have decided to change something that everybody was just going with. And then maybe, of course, it was wrong. Muhammad Ali, when he was talking about all the abuse that mm-hmm. people were taking in those days, Martin Luther King, and they all did it peacefully.
They did it peacefully.
And at the same time, created such havoc.
They did
such
it peacefully. Havoc.
You know?
They yeah. wasn't going to people. They wasn't going to churches.
Nothing.
They wasn't going to people's rallies.
And burning
and
anything.
Saying, listen, I'm bigger than what y'all. Listen, this is what we're doing. No. They did it in a respectful manner. They did it peacefully. And if you decided you wanted to walk along with them or stand along with them, mm-hmm. then they would accept you. And if mm-hmm. not, they respected you too of your wishes. But this is what I stand for. And this is what I'm here for. And that caused the life of one of the biggest influencers that we've ever had in Martin Luther King. He was assassinated because of that. He was assassinated because of that.
Because so many people, here's my question, because so many people knew or only understood Colin as a NFL football player or a professional athlete. Has Colin Kaepernick won?
Well,
not yet.
We all have. I mean, like I said, I think the great thing about him is years from now when my grandkids, you know, is in school, they're going to learn about Colin Kaepernick and not as a football player. They're going to learn about what he stood for today. And I think what he did by making us aware, mm-hmm. and not only just making us aware, but continuing his walk, continuing his talk of everything that he believed in, he's going to be known about and talked about forever. As a football player, we never heard of him again, probably. It don't matter how many Super Bowls he won. Eventually, it was going to be somebody better or greater. But what he's done is he's put himself in a sense where you're always going to have to talk about what he did, and it's always going to be someone else that is going to try to, you know what, let me find out what he was saying. Let me find out what he did. And they may try to do the same thing. So what he's done is he's educated the next and next and next generation and giving them confidence that they could do what Martin Luther King did. They could do what Malcolm X did and all these guys. So it's powerful.
It's, you know, and I don't even like to say did he win or did he lose, because every single day it's an ongoing thing. It's never the end. It's not like, oh, I won, yay, I can live in the sun and the
never,
valley.
Never.
It's like it's this book is always going to be open. I think, like D. Wade has stated, what he's created conversation. And he's created people actually talking about issues and trying to find out how can we become better. Not only like how can you become better. Everybody has actually looked in the mirror at them own selves and was like, oh, shit, how can I become better? Mm-hmm. You know, and Colin was he kind of was one of the spearheads of that because he was our generation. He was our generation. Martin Luther King did the same thing. You know, like I said, Muhammad Ali kind of these guys did the same thing. You know, and not just not just all males either. There were females that were speaking this knowledge as well.
Mm-hmm.
Colin is our generation. He's our generation. And you know, for me, I know personally, I speak upon a lot of things as well, you know, and I've been a part of, some issues, and I've had my opinions, but one thing about it, I've always been well educated about it, and I've always been passionate about it, and I know what the hell I'm talking about. So, we have a platform as athletes and as influencers, if it means something to you. It has to mean something to you, because it'll get to a point where you will state what you say, and then
your actions won't back it up.
Yeah, you won't back it up, or another issue will come on, and you'll be like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm good. I've already talked about that one. If it means something to you and you're passionate about it, then as influencers. And that's people that have all these followers and all these people that look up to them, then why not? Because we have so many people that really don't care.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
It's no winner. It's like going to court for custody of your kids. It doesn't matter who gets sole custody of the kids. There's no winner, the mother or the father.
Mm-hmm.
The focus is the kids. And, you know, in Colin's case, there's no winner no matter what happens. But the focus is on the message. Of mm-hmm. what he's saying and what he's doing. So I don't know if you can look at it and ever say, oh, well, he won or they lost. You know, I just think that his message is so important and it's going to be so impactful that's the winner, the message, not more so of Colin or whoever is going against him.
I just think so often because of people thinking and only understanding Colin as a professional athlete because he's not on the field right now, they hold that against him. Instead of realizing and understanding the message as you guys are speaking about and talking about and the way he's used his platform, which has now become a platform of the people, as he mentioned at the Sports Awards.
And it is a platform of the people because at the end of the day, the people, they run it.
Mm-hmm.
The people run everything, you know, people's opinions, people's thoughts, people's love, people's, you know, their passion. It's not one individual that's built America or one individual that built the world the way it lives today. It's not one person. Yeah, you always have one or two people that gets the most credit, but at the end of the day, you can always look at it like a basketball team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I get a lot of the headlines, but shit, there's no way in hell I could do it by myself. And I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it by myself. You know?
Yeah.
I need, you know, it's a 10 o'clock shoot around. I need Jetty and Big Z. I need those guys there at 8. I need those guys there at 8. And then I need the vets to come in at 9. I need those guys.
Yeah.
So it's never just one guy. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And the damn show wasn't built by one person.
It's kind of like you said, this was actually very topical yesterday because you were talking about how sometimes you feel your people have grown so accustomed to your greatness that they think it's just easy because you continue to do it at such a consistent level. But it's not.
Nah. I mean, because at the end of the day, I could stop right now and be one of the greatest to ever play the game.
You're welcome.
I could stop right now. Like, seriously. I could drop this podcast right now, fly home, be with my family, and be one of the greatest to ever play. But it's not – I owe it to the people to keep going. I owe it to the people to keep going. I owe it to the person that finally he's able to understand the game of basketball. And he's like, oh. That's LeBron. I know exactly the play. I owe it to that kid. I just do. Until I can't do it no more, I owe it to that kid to keep teaching him this is the way the game should be played. It should be played with love, passion, commitment for your teammates. Put the time in for yourself. And everything else, who cares? Who cares? Everybody gets so caught up in wins and losses. And obviously, this is the business of winning. I get it. And I'm all about winning because I cannot not win. It drives me crazy. But at the end of the day, the commitment to the game, the passion for the game, the love for the game, and the commitment to excellence, not only from yourself but from your teammates, will create that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it at a level and you give the time to it, then what it does for the next generation, I mean – you look at the list of guys that's 25 and younger right now. I mean, I can't go off the top of my – so you go like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Devin Booker and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
My goodness.
I mean
– just that list right there alone is enough.
I mean, that's just a few. That's just a few. I mean, the list is unbelievable of the guys that's 25 and younger.
It's half our league. Kuzma.
Kuzma,
you got Donovan Mitchell. You can name who's Dennis Smith Jr. You can name,
and those are just the rookies.
I mean, those are rookies.
How old is Damian Lillard?
He may be
26.
He may be a little.
He could be. I mean, Kyrie could be 26.
Kyrie 25, turning 26.
Yeah, but look at these guys. They are. And I feel like me personally, and D Wade as well, we had something to do. Not saying that we was in the gym with those guys, whatever. But when we were playing the game at their age, I feel like they watched us play the game the right way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like Brett Brown when you guys played Philly. He spoke about a lot of the guys inside that locker room. They had your posters on their walls, you know. But it's not time to go get autographs, you know. You have to respect them for right.
It's not that time.
So,
not that time.
But to your point of
it's not that time,
you're not in the gym with them, but they looked up to you.
Yeah, it's not that time, but
yeah.
I mean, what do you mean it's not that time? What does that mean?
It's not time for that.
It's time for war.
Yeah. It's time to go compete.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's like gladiators. Everybody ready?
It's like you remember. Like I remember my first matchup against Kobe. Right, I remember
it. Man.
I remember everything about it, but it's competition. You know what I mean? Kobe was out to kick my ass, and I wanted to prove myself.
For you know, sure.
Right? So I wasn't being a fanboy. But inside, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm playing against Kobe.
I couldn't believe it.
Oh, I'm playing against Allen Iverson.
I couldn't believe it.
But I got to compete, and I got to go at these guys because I want respect.
You got to understand, right. My first time playing against the Lakers, I played against Gary Payton, Karl Malone, Shaq, and Kobe.
All on one team.
All
bro.
On one team.
You know how intimidating that is?
Do you understand it? Listen, Gary Payton, which is the number two or three best point guard in the 90s with Jason Kidd and can we name John Stockton?
In the
90s, right?
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant and Shaq, three-peat, while I'm growing up, and Karl Malone competed against my favorite player of all time in the finals multiple times.
Right.
I'm like, I gotta play against these guys? I'm 18.
They was big,
I'm 18
too, man.
Years old. My jersey is huge.
And they want to show you off.
Oh,
they
yeah. Especially Kobe at that time. Yes. Kobe was about keeping you in your place. Like, Kobe was only 24 when we got in the league.
Right.
He already had three rings.
He already had
24
three rings.
Years old.
So what's the hardest part about going into matchups like that?
You
got to get out of who that is.
Yeah.
Forget that it's Kobe. Or forget that it's LeBron. You got to get out of that and know that this is opponent in the way of what you're trying to
do. And it's so hard. It's so hard because at the end of the day, I mean, I'm in this room. We're in downtown Indianapolis. You cut this in half. This is my bedroom in high school. Cut this in half from here. That whole damn wall is flooded with pictures from Slam Magazine of all of them.
Everybody.
Oh, I tore up walls in my house.
Oh, yeah.
The magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Well, wait, did you use the tear to paint? Piece of gum?
No. Whatever I can find to put them up, bro. They fall all the time.
I use them. Shit. We sold duct tape, so I had duct tape. That shit didn't go
nowhere. I had whatever, bro.
We sold duct tape falling. At my AAU program, so I had duct tape keeping those things.
Can I ask you a question?
You ain't. Them shits ain't going nowhere with duct tape.
What was it like when you met D-Way? When you two met? The first time?
Yeah. We met in Chicago.
At the pre-draft.
And I told this story multiple times.
Channing, I feel like you have something ready to come out.
What, Channing?
I'm actually low-key he's very chill.
He's either two things. He's about to either fart or he's waiting for D-Way to say something so he can come in hard.
And honestly, I was thinking about the other story. Like the first game I actually played in the league was against Dirk Nowitzki, and I love Dirk Nowitzki. And I told Ellie this story, and literally – first game in the NBA I start in Dirk Nowitzki. It's 2005. That is, give me the burger, Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, what's up, Dirk? And he looks at me, right? And he's like, hey, what's up? And Dirk is nice. He's this nice guy. So I'm thinking, okay, like, this is going to be good. 34 points later, give me the burger. And he's fade away. I mean, I had no eyeballs. Then it's like I go play Tim Duncan in San Antonio. He's the right way. And Tim had like, you know, he had the same. He had an agent. And then I was trying to figure out who my agent was going to be before I came out. So he sent me an email. Hey, it's Tim Duncan. You should come sign my agent, blah, blah, blah.
Hey,
right?
Tim Duncan.
So in college, I'm like, yo, Tim Duncan. Motherfucking email me. Yo, the first game. He is low-key one of the dirtiest fucking players I've ever played against in my life. He was swatting my shit, bank-shotting. I mean, it was straight business. Yeah. I missed a shot. He goes, first one doesn't count. Next, every shot from that on,
we know.
He was contesting.
Dude. You're absolutely right.
It was amazing. Iverson. And after that,
Tracy
I knew.
Tracy McGrady, Kobe Bryant, Steve Francis.
Like, Yao Ming.
Yeah, it's like
Shaq.
Come on, man. These guys
Lonzo.
Are in prime.
Yeah, it was in their prime. In their my first prime. Game was against Allen Iverson.
Oh.
My first NBA game on a road against Allen Iverson, bro. You know what I'm doing in my room. I'm a starting point guard, and I'm not even a point guard, and I got to guard Iverson.
By the way.
What?
Me and, yeah, that's me and you. We both started point guards. We're at no point.
Listen, I was a point center. Guard. I was a playmaker. I'm not a point guard.
Center, and they're like, yo, Channing, you got Shaq tonight. I'm like, I weigh 238. What am I doing with that?
You're disappearing when he posted up.
Man, I was so nervous.
Oh, I was done.
I was so nervous.
I was so nervous.
My first game in SAC, I was so nervous. I had just watched Sacramento like the last two or three years in the Western Conference Finals versus the Lakers. And I'm like, they got those kettlebells, those cowbells in the stands
they
going
got
crazy.
Kettlebells. Oh, is this a workout?
Does it look like it to me?
A kettlebell.
The cowbell. Oh, the cowbells in the crowd. I mean, it's Bibby and Christy and Peja and Vladdy and C. Webb.
They was animals.
And Bobby Jackson.
Who
and
you
all
talk about?
These guys are animals.
That.
That's my first. That. That's my first game. It's like. My goodness.
And everybody eyes.
Everybody want me to looking for me to fail.
That's a lot of pressure.
It was too much. It was too much to have. To this day, I might have to save this. I love road tripping to death. I'm saving this story.
For what?
Let's save the story because here's some pictures. Here's some questions.
When I'm done, I might have to do something with my die. You know, I'm gonna save this.
You got a diary.
People really, the real story of how I felt. That night and that day of the game,
it was crazy.
To be continued.
There's your tease. Before we get to your questions, because I did interrupt you, the first time you two met.
The first time
really
we
quick,
met.
And then Channing's got questions.
Well, I mean, the story's been told the first time we met, but the thing
I've
was,
I've never heard it.
So real quick, the first time we met that I, from my recall, because it's coming from me and it's be different from him, but I'm in a room. Right, I'm sitting in a room, and I'm waiting for a long time for the doctors to come in and check me out. Right, I had knee surgery, so they come in, they check every part of your body to see, you know, whatever. So I'm sitting here, and I'm waiting. I'm like, man, why am I waiting so long? I'm the only one in here. Well, they was waiting on somebody to come in. So once this little kid come in, named LeBron James that I knew about, you know, obviously, he comes in, and, you know, it's just me and him in there. Hey, what's up, bro? Hey, what's up, bro? And it's just me and him in there for a minute, and we got a chance to kind of just, you know, say hi, talk a little bit, and just have like a small connection. And the doctors came and did him and took him on his way. And I still was in there waiting because he was the number one pick and I didn't know where I was going. So then that whole weekend, we just, you know, we were running to each other and it was just like, hey,
yeah,
bro.
We just kept running into each other.
What you doing? Hey,
and I don't know if that was by coincidence or the fact that we both had the same schedule.
Right.
We had the same places.
Right. That was probably it.
Yeah, that was probably it. But it felt like it was coincidence. Yeah. It felt like a connection. I was like.
But like we walked, remember they had this big room where like all the athletes that was there, we had to listen to somebody talk. So when you walk in a room, you look for people that you might know.
That you might know.
So you're like, you know what I'm saying? You see Brian over there, you're like, yo. He's like, yo, come over here. So that's how it kind of went that weekend. And it just kind of went from there where we just connected and we was always together that weekend and stuff like that because you want to be with people that, you know, you have some kind of connection with.
Yeah, you got to realize this right here, at this point, it's almost like being an eighth grader going into high school orientation.
Mm-hmm.
You know how intimidating it is when you got to go to ninth grade?
No, I don't know that.
So you definitely know that.
No,
so
it goes 7, 8, 9.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so for eighth grade.
So 10th grade,
in
fool.
I was a man.
He was a man who couldn't listen to rap music.
He was a 6'7" man who couldn't listen to rap music.
Couldn't listen to rap music,
Driving his vehicle in Phoenix
without air conditioning.
I was hot listening to Marvin Gaye.
A man who can't listen to nobody but Tupac because his dad loved Tupac.
Man, love that. Exactly. You could tell. No, nothing about Tupac and Snoop.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like high school orientation. You try to find someone that you could like ease your mind. Like, this is intimidating.
It's a lot.
Like, You're going into the NBA. It's intimidating as shit. It has to feel like someone going into the army.
Well, no wonder why you guys are right now.
So we connected. We connected right away. And you know, obviously we have some shared things, you know, in our families and our past. But just that that moment when we got in the NBA, we just connected because we was like, it was new. Like, I didn't supposed to be here. Like, I'm looking around and I'm like, what am I doing here at the NBA combine? It's like, no one knew who I was like that. Like, what am I here for? Right. So for me, it was like you said, you walk in and I don't know none of these guys. I didn't grow up on the circuit. I never played against none of these guys. I don't know nobody at this draft at all. I've seen them, but they don't know me. I don't know them. So first person I meet is
Right.
Nobody came out to the suburbs to see me.
Did he tell y'all the two scholarships that he was offered?
Who?
In high school?
Oh.
Bradley University and Illinois State.
Illinois State and Bradley.
And Marquette.
Until U of A offered me, mine was New Mexico State in New Mexico.
I would have took it. Sign me up.
Until the NBA offered me, it was Carolina,
Michigan
State, Florida State, Ohio State,
Duke.
Duke, everybody.
But the thing is, you hear people, right? So LeBron James, obviously, you hear about him before because he's the first high school guy to play on TV and, you know, he's doing all these interviews. So the first time I heard him, it was an interview he was doing and he was talking about he had his messed up fro. His voice was real squeaky.
Shit was nappy.
And he was talking about him coming out of the NBA his junior year. So I'm sitting here in college. I'm like, who the hell? You know what I'm saying? This high school they're talking about, blah, blah, blah. Then I watched him play and I said,
about that business.
That's what they was talking about. At first, I'm like, junior, come on, bro.
That was just all narrative. I had no intentions on leaving after my junior year. High school, we all know, is the greatest time.
No.
College maybe for y'all.
Thank you.
High school for me is the best time of my life, and there was no way I was leaving my four best friends and my three brothers, basically, in high school. I was having a ball, so I was like – because – actually, Oak Hill recruited me, too.
Did they?
That's a story that a lot of people don't know. I'm giving y'all a lot of information I should be saving. But Oak Hill and Steve Smith.
Well, here, just save it to another podcast.
Steve Smith, the coach of Oak Hill,
the wide receiver,
knew that me and Mello was very close friends. And Mello was leaving to go to Syracuse my senior year, and he recruited me to come to Oak Hill my senior year. I was like, I'm not going to no Mount of Wilson, Virginia. I'm already in the dumps in Akron. You think I'm coming there? I love these dumps here.
Right, I know these dumps.
I know how to find a steak in this trash can. I'm good.
All right, Channing, because we got to wrap up. Like,
we got to wrap up. Listen, it's for Braun.
Okay.
Who is it from?
Wait. I don't know who this is.
You didn't write him down?
No.
They don't know.
They don't get that.
Okay.
Braun, are you coming out with the peanut butter jelly 15s?
That has never been brought up. Last night on SportsCenter, it was all about your colors of shoes as it relates to wine. PB&J, that's a good idea.
The PB&J colorway?
That's literally a question.
Well, there's a conflict of interest here. Because this is a joint venture, and it's hard for me to use the jelly name without the likeness of this guy because he has different...
Oh, endorsements.
Okay. Yeah, so...
So jelly's ruining it.
Okay, here we go. So here's my question.
Jelly sucks.
Jelly does suck. And I'm going to add, because somebody just asked a regular question, who would win 1-on-1? If $50 million were on the line, who would win a game of 1-on-1?
By the way, we've played 1-on-1.
Between Wade and LeBron?
Yeah.
Wade and LeBron. Peanut butter and jelly played 1-on-1.
Right now, he would tag terribly.
We played 1-on-1 one time.
Yeah, we played 1-on-1 one time.
In our whole life. And it was during the finals.
Eastern Conference Finals.
What year?
Eastern Conference Finals, yes.
What year?
Eastern Conference Finals.
2010, 2000, our first year.
Our first year. We went.
And it was more so to set a precedent for our teammates because we got our ass kicked the game before, game one by Chicago.
By Chicago. MVP Rose tore our ass up in Chicago. Yeah. And we came in the next day. We was like, we need to set the tone.
We had to set a tone.
So, and we was out there killing each other playing 1-on-1.
So if I ever see y'all play 1-on-1,
we never finished.
He's setting a tone.
No, we never finished.
We never finished. Do you know
what the score was at the point? Where Spo blew the whistle. Like, bring it in.
Everybody was just watching us. we was going at it. But it was for us. It was listen. I mean, we competitive. We was going at it, but we was setting a tone for this is how it's got to go. You got to be able to go at this. You know what I'm saying? We're two of the best players in this game.
Right.
We going at each other racks in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. We out there killing each other. And this is what y'all better do tomorrow. Because we got to be on like the boards by like 20-something.
Yeah.
And we had to come with it. And we won four in a row.
Yeah. They were tough.
That'd be like a listen up.
Last thing. Okay, what is y'all's most memorable game against each other?
Oh, that's easy. Christmas. One in Cleveland. No,
yeah, Christmas. That was a Christmas game.
No, that wasn't Christmas.
See? No, oh, that's no. Not a great question.
It wasn't Christmas, but it was in Cleveland. The one you score 47, I score 44.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good defense.
Wait a minute, what?
Oh, yeah, that wasn't Christmas.
That wasn't Christmas. It was a March game or something like
that. I remember one play you had. You missed a shot. Took it out of Anderson Varejao's hand, went on the other side and boofed that bitch.
Boofed that motherfucker. Ooh. Whoa.
That was nasty.
I didn't watch.
You wasn't on TV back then.
This ain't your question.
Channing, you wasn't on TV back then.
What year was this?
I think Brian had like 47, 12, and 14.
On you? That's disgusting.
I wasn't guarding him.
I think Shannon Anderson was guarding him.
Yeah, Shannon Adams. He's 6'9", bro. I'm 6'3".
And I wasn't guarding him either at the time either.
I had like 44.
I think Eric Snow was guarding you.
Whoever was guarding me was getting toe up.
Yeah, he was tearing their ass up.
And I ain't had Shaq that game, so it was no Shaq. It was just
you know
me
what's
and Brian
messed up? Here's
it
what's
was
messed
all
up.
Pick and roll.
It was all
here's Riles' problem.
Yeah, Riles was coaching, so it had to be like 05, 06, maybe 07, maybe. Maybe the year y'all won it.
07.
06.
06. Riles was coaching that game.
Yeah, it was something around there. 06. If Riles was coaching, then it was 06 or 07.
Yeah.
But do you remember that one play where we both dove on? Like, it's like this. They got it. Like, we both diving and we both missed the ball.
Yeah, straight up.
It's like slow motion. We both dive for and we just both miss it.
They said that was the moment we both committed to Miami. I'm coming.
This is a weird story, but the night you won your first championship. In 06?
06, yeah.
I cut my graduation party short because I had to watch the start of the finals.
The start?
Yeah, my high school graduation.
What was about the start that you would need to watch?
I just wanted to watch the game.
Oh, okay. Because it was dope back then because they had you walk out on a trophy.
You used to walk out on a trophy.
Used to walk out on a trophy. Ooh,
you used to walk
swag.
Out on a trophy.
It
and
was swag.
The logo on the jersey was crazy. It was just a trophy.
And so the NBA used to tell me that I had to put on like a shooting shirt. I was walking out of my jersey ready to go, so I had my jersey loan. Like I got fine, I'm sure. But I walked out and I just stood there like I was like, oh, let's go!
Yeah, then the following year, I did the same shit, got swept. But I walked out of that motherfucking trophy I'm here.
That probably was it. They took it away after that.
Yeah, because I think it was too long.
But it was great.
It was great.
You know what's one of the best things? I mean, you know, talking to champions in here. But when they play that video
On the Jumbotron of all the champions.
And when you see yourself up there, it's incredible, bro.
When you see yourself on the Jumbotron as a champion and you're playing for a championship at the same time, it's like
– it's so good.
Here's the funniest thing, good. Right? So being good. A role player, so right? Not you guys. Here's my thing, right? Here's the problem. I like to enjoy the moment. I like to squeeze all the juice out the grape. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Literally, when we won – it was like best night of my life, best week of my life, best 2 weeks of my life, and now somebody else is champion. Get back to work. And I'm like,
oh, I tell this story all the time.
Man, this fucking sucks.
It sucks. I tell this story all the time, trying to piggyback what you said. I said, winning a championship is the best, worst moment of your life. You know why? Because it comes and it goes so fast. And all you could think about is like, oh, shit. I should have done so much more.
yeah.
So much more.
And guess what? And guess what time it is? Yep. It's media day.
Oh.
You averaged a damn near triple-double in your last championship. It's not on the court. It's afterwards.
You should not sleep for the next month.
Yeah, you should actually go to sleep. You actually go to sleep, do things, like make appearances. It's like, why the fuck am I making an appearance with y'all right now? I'm supposed to be somewhere on top of a hotel party in Las Vegas.
What did we do the next day after we won the first championship in Miami?
Worked out.
No, what did we do the next day? Do you remember?
Did the Versa Climber.
We got in the cold tub.
Oh, we did. Because we didn't get in the night before.
So we got in after every game.
After every game. Yes, we did.
We win the championship. Everybody drinking, going crazy.
Do you remember how dehydrated and sore we was in the club?
We was in the club messed up.
We was in the club. The night we won the championship, our first one in Miami, tore up.
Legs hurt.
I was like, D-Wade, my legs are killing me right now.
Throw me too.
Killing me. And I'm dehydrated because we had no food.
Nothing. We eat nothing. We just drink it.
You're not. All you do is drink
it. Because that year you won it in Miami.
That's the year we won it in Miami because OKC. Not only are you drinking champagne is being poured on you, so it's in your pores. So you're dehydrated and you're sore because for the first time in probably 6 months, you didn't ice, cold, tub, or nothing.
You ain't do nothing.
So you in the club and you dancing like this and you realize that those kneecaps are not agreeing with you. Your kneecaps and hamstrings do not agree with the hell you just did.
Yo, so it's like 6 in the morning. Yo, bro, tomorrow let's meet at the cold tub at about 11.
Yeah,
and then let's go to lunch.
Yeah, we did.
So we met at the cold tub, bro. That's how we celebrated our championship.
That shit hurt my knees right now.
Oh, it hurt. I'm rubbing my knees right now. I was in the club ready to go home. But I'm like, this is our first championship. Everybody want to party. I mean, our first championship together. Everybody want to keep partying. I'm ready to go home because my leg was killing me.
Straight up.
Yeah, so that was your second. That was my first. What did you do after your first?
Listen.
Vegas. Kenny was in Vegas.
Do you know what I did, honestly?
Vegas.
I was in Vegas.
Right after?
They don't.
We flew from San Francisco to Vegas after we
Oh, yeah, 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 that. Nice. Oh, that. I was toe up from the flow.
I talked to an NBA guy, guy from the business side of the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, never in my life have I ever heard of a team who won a championship and took a detour on the way home through Vegas.
That's a far flight. I'm going to tell you this right now.
Through Vegas.
When I got home off that plane, I drank maybe way too much champagne. The lady was, bless her heart, gave me so many bottles of water that I was able to, like, get a ride home, drive home, whatever. I got home. My wife took me to the margarita joint across the street, Don Ramon's, holla at your boy, right? The biggest margarita.
$3.99.
I sat there. And she goes, you're a freaking champion. Now, for me, these guys have been number one in the league. I came from one of the worst teams in the NBA, joined this team, and then went, like, climb that ladder real quick, like Donkey Kong. You know, like I got a cheat code, okay? So here's the issue with me. I got home, drank this margarita, and my mother-in-law was there. All my friends are there. My brother's there. And I'm looking at the replay of us getting off this airplane. And I'm like, holy shit. And I lost it.
Mm-hmm. You cried?
Because at the end, I lost it for 10 minutes like a baby. Because here's the deal. We play basketball. You play it to win. You play it because you love it and because it's all. But everybody has to make certain sacrifices for everything to go exactly right. And I tell the story to all my friends. Like, we're sitting there. We sat there as a team in this lobby. And we're down 3-2, I think. We're back in
home.
Back home.
No, no, no.
So we're down 3-1 then.
We're down 3-1. And I remember Bron goes, I feel it. This is how it's supposed to be. God is never going to make anything for me easy, right? He's never going to make anything for me easy. And he said it. I knew it. And then everyone else, I could feel it like Mighty Ducks, right? Like somebody was just flapping their wings. Like, yo, flying feet. Anyways, listen. Low-key, we won the next game. Then we won the next game. And then we said, holy crap. So you're saying we have a chance, hey,
Best two words in sports, game seven.
Right? And I put it on a snap, or I put it on Instagram, and I did all this. And then after we won, there was no, like, I could have drank all the champagne in the world, and there was no feeling above the fact that everything that you put into something, it achieved the ultimate goal.
It's no greater feeling.
Right? And that is literally, after that, it changed my whole perspective on basketball. Whether I have 2 points, 5 points, 15 points, 30 points, which will never happen again, maybe for my career, unless somebody really is crazy.
I just seen this episode.
Winning is it. Winning. Oh, we're talking about Friends.
Yeah, Friends is on the background.
Oh, I just seen this episode, too.
I just seen this episode.
Yeah.
To piggyback Channing's story about what he did post us winning,
yeah,
I did the complete opposite.
What do you mean? You didn't go to Vegas.
We got something to eat.
We flew from Golden State, from Oakland to Vegas. We had a big ass, they had a big ass party set up for us. People, obviously you see the footage of JR and everybody spraying champagne into the crowd, shirts off, everything. I sat in the corner. I was exhausted. I tried to have an unbelievable time, and I could not. So it got to a point where I almost got like, I got like annoyed. So I left the club, and we're at the Wynn Hotel. I left the club and went to an Italian restaurant that's inside, sat down, and had dinner, had some wine, and that was my night after winning the championship, the first championship in Cleveland.
Very true.
This is a fact.
Whoa.
This is a fact.
Yeah. I wish I would have ate. And
that's the thing. Like, you want to be able to win multiple championships so the next time you can do the things that you said the first time. Yeah. I wish I would have did. You know, like you said, he wish he would have ate. So if he wins another one, which we hope he does, he could eat.
Yeah, he can eat.
It's the simple thing. Like, third one, I just sat down.
I left the club. Left the club. First of all, Timothy Miles Golf and J.R. Smith splashed me with champagne.
I remember seeing that video, y'all.
They splashed me with champagne. I was hot.
Yeah, I was going to say you were mad.
I was mad. I had my RWTW shirt on. I was hot.
Oh, that wasn't free.
Yeah.
I was mad.
And then, I was sitting. I wanted to have a great time. I wanted to dance. I couldn't. I just had nothing left.
You exhausted.
I gave everything I had to that game.
Yeah.
I gave everything I had to that series, to that game.
Last five minutes.
I walked from one side because as a media member, you have to have like a pass to get on the floor for everything. I walked from one side of Oracle Arena to the other and back in 27 seconds, ran off the clock. 27 seconds. It was the longest final minute 30.
I should have been diagnosed for an anxiety attack.
I do have a question for you.
I said, I'm going to die. I can't do this. Send me to the back.
Didn't you broadcast during that series?
No. I broadcasted one before, but I was at Game 7.
You were at Game 7. Mm-hmm. Did you know that this team, when they were down 3-1, having known LeBron, not from the outside? No.
No.
Know what?
No.
That they could do it?
No. I don't know. All I remember doing is I was in Miami, actually. And I remember I was out by my pool chilling because we was out for a long time. And I remember watching you guys walk into in Golden State when y'all was down 3-1. I remember watching y'all walk into practice that day. And I just was looking at him and I was looking at you guys just to see if they gave up. Right? I want to see if they gave up. And I see he didn't give nothing. He had on his Undertaker shirt, whatever the case may be. And he didn't give the media nothing. And I'm looking at that because if I see that
I wore that shirt the day before. And nobody says
nothing.
Okay,
but Channing, no one.
But I didn't crazy.
See it. Because I text him every now and again, something small. But I didn't see it. I saw him still focused, still confident on what he need on the goal and the objective. He wasn't thinking about down 3-1. He was thinking about the next game.
Yeah.
And what he was embarking on. So. As a fan of the game, I knew that they could win the next game.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that, you know, no one knows they go back 3-1. I'm not on the Cavs and I'm a good friend of his, but game 7, I'm up there sweating and my heart beating fast just like everybody else. Because I'm in there with Golden State fans and Cleveland fans. I'm in a suite. And it's like, it's crazy in there.
Basketball.
Oh, it was an amazing game.
Great basketball.
Like, if you're a fan of basketball, that was one of the best games.
Two great teams. Amazing players on the court.
It was amazing.
No lie. If he would have put me in, I would have. I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have just caught it and shot it from half court. But like,
that's why he's
a little too fast for me.
That's why he's a coach.
I think that's a great way to send you guys to dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, we've talked about a lot tonight. From Colin Kaepernick being able to give his message and be able to see further than himself to better our society, for people to keep the conversation going.
Where are your draws at?
We've talked about great wine. Oh, we've talked about the banana boat. We've talked about what it means to be a champion. And I think at the end of the day, this conversation can all go down to is while you have life and while you're breathing, to be able to figure out what's your meaning in life, what's your purpose. And when you find that, not only put the work in for you individually, but to be able to have the mind capacity to know that it will project and be able to inspire people, not only in your same category, but people up underneath you that's coming after you. And that goes from everything that we talked about tonight, Colin Kaepernick, to wine, to clothes that you wear, to fashion, to sports, to work ethic, to everything. I mean, everything that we talked about is being able to be educated and being able to say, this is bigger than me. I'm going to work extremely hard because I care about what I do and the legacy that I live, but also being able to leave a legacy behind for the next generation. So,
and one constant, there is emotion.
There's always emotion when you got, you know.
You guys were true.
Well, Allie, you know, you add the, you know, the female touch in there. You got to have some emotion there. You got to have some emotion there. And that's crazy.
It's true. That's
crazy.
All
right, cool.
It's crazy that I ain't got no wine.
It's crazy. So I'll just have this.
Uh-oh, you get the special one. Just try it. I'm just trying. Just try.
Listen, we do got a game.
Try a little bit.
It's only one of those.
So we
going to
drink wine at dinner, or is this it?
No, I'm going to bring one downstairs for dinner.
All right, cool. So I'm
just try a little bit.
I'm going to put mine in my room when I go put my shorts on.
Yeah, but I just wanted a sip, motherfucker.
If you don't like it, then give it to Allie. She'll drink it. Tell her what you think.
What is this?
The Zinfandel from
Alyssa, I got
Russian River Valley.
Anybody that want to send free wine to Road Tripping,
please.
So we can travel on the road with wine. I say we like I'm on the podcast. Please send us free wine so we can do these.
See? I told you.
These podcasts is more and more and more. It's great.
Yeah,
Shout out to Joe Minotti from Rocky River because he supplied the wine.
Joe Minotti?
Joe Minotti.
Homage? Is it Homage?
Oh, shout out to Homage.
Homage, shout out because I like the t-shirts. And send me some more free ones.
Oh, Homage.
And shout out to Toro Wine, who also sends us wine.
Okay, Toro. You guys are
and
one more shout out. Like
one more. Channing gets underwear from me on these.
No, you guys are forgetting the most important shout out.
Uninterrupted.
Thank you.
Well,
of course.
I don't know who that is.
Shout out Uninterrupted for
shout
the
out. Shout out. Yeah.
Shout out Uninterrupted.
Yeah.
I think that's what brings it full circle is that this entire time.
And then
we're
guess what? If you want a shout out,
we're Uninterrupted.
DM your boy. Because guess what? If you got some gear, you know.
So we end, and we start the conversation with a toast. We end with a toast. Road tripping.
Hashtag wait.
Team Channing and Team
hashtag
Richard.
Hashtag strive for greatness. Rocky Strip.
That's another Rocky edition of Road Trippin' Richard versus
Channing. Hashtag RDGW.
Hashtag.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, don't forget, we're working with a t-shirt company that you may have seen around, Homage. They're the ones that are responsible for LeBron's Ultimate Warrior shirt and many of the college designs you see on tees. As they pay homage to great moments in sports and inspiring stories, go check out their NBA Jam tees at homage.com. You're sure to be inspired, and we'll get a kick out of their special design for Richard and Channing, along with three other designs specific to the Road Trippin' fan. Get them while they're still in stock at homage.com.